Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to BLS International Services Limited Q1 FY 2026 earnings call hosted by Ambit Capital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Moez Chandani from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashri. Good afternoon, and on behalf of Ambit Capital, I thank the management of BLS International Services Limited for the opportunity to host your Q1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. We have the following members of management with us today: Mr. Nikhil Gupta, Managing Director; Mr. Shikhar Aggarwal, Joint Managing Director; Mr. Amit Sudhakar, Chief Financial Officer; Mr. Loknath Panda, COO, Digital Business; and Mr. Gaurav Chugh, Head of Investor Relations. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Gaurav Chugh to walk us through the initial comments. Thank you all, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Moez. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking time out to join this call today. This is to remind you that this discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It may be viewed in conjunction with our businesses that could cause future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Shikhar Aggarwal for his opening remarks, post which Mr. Amit Sudhakar will discuss the financial performance of the company, and we'll then open the floor for an interactive Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Shikhar.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the Q1 FY 2026 earnings call of BLS International Services Limited. This year holds special significance for us as we mark our 20th anniversary, a remarkable milestone that speaks of our journey of resilience, innovation, and unwavering commitment to excellence over the last two decades. Before we dive into our performance, I want to take a moment to sincerely thank our stakeholders, partners, and team members. Your trust and support have been central to shaping BLS into a globally trusted brand it is today. Our journey has been defined by sustainable growth, adaptability to changing markets, and a deep-rooted customer-centric approach. I am delighted to share that we have commenced FY 2026 on a strong note. This quarter's performance reflects the strength of our operating model and the impact of our strategic execution. We have yet again achieved highest-ever quarterly financials. Our consolidated revenue reached INR 710 crores, marking an impressive year-on-year growth of 44% over the last year's corresponding quarterly revenue of 493 crores. The growth was led by the existing business as well as the consolidation of our acquired business, iDATA, Citizenship Invest, and RD Filter Solutions during the previous financial year. Our EBITDA grew by 53% to 204 crore from 133 crores in Q1 FY 2025. EBITDA margin also expanded by 171 basis points to 28.7%. Our PAT stood at 181 crores, witnessing a growth of 50% over Q1 FY 2025. Our visa and consular business continued to drive our company's long-term growth ambitions. This quarter saw strong traction aided by a surge in global travel and increased integration of digital and tech-led solutions. The segment delivered a revenue growth of 11% year-on-year to 461 crore and net revenue growth of 60% year-on-year to 60 crores. The growth was primarily driven by change in our business model from partner and to self-managed across many locations, as well as due to consolidation of iDATA. We recorded an EBITDA margin of 40.4% in the segment as compared to 29.3% in Q1 FY 2025, supported by the company's strong focus on cost efficiencies. We have continued to deliver robust growth in the number of applications as we processed 11.4 lakh applications during the quarter, representing a year-on-year growth of 33.6%. The global visa outsourcing market continues to present a significant opportunity, projected to grow at 14% CAGR and expected to reach $8.2 billion by 2028, a trend we are well positioned to capitalize on. Now, moving forward to the digital service business, revenue in this segment surged to 218% year-on-year to 250 crores, with an EBITDA at 18 crores. Growth here was primarily driven by the consolidation of RDFS as well as growth in our VC business. During the quarter, our step-down subsidiary Zero Mass also signed definitive agreement to acquire CSPs of SBI and HDFC Bank from Sabke Impact Solutions. This strategic acquisition will mark a significant step in the company's commitment to expand financial inclusion and enhance last-mile banking delivery across India. Our BC and BF business continue to drive financial inclusion. We have onboarded over 10,000 retailers, entered into strategic partnership with Bajaj Finserv, HDFC Bank, along with micro ATM CSP rollout in Odisha, and furthermore. Beyond banking, we have also expanded our digital footprint with a new project in Chhattisgarh for digitizing sub-registrar offices, streamlining land record registrations, and launching Aadhaar enrollment centers in Rajasthan, and partnering with Delhivery for nationwide courier services. We continue to benefit from successful integration of recent acquisitions such as iData, CI, and RDFS. These integrations have expanded our service capabilities, improved operational efficiency, and extended our presence and market share in high-growth markets. As we look forward, Biz International remains well-positioned to build on this momentum. We are expanding through key government partnerships and diversifying our offerings into areas such as citizenship, residency, and entry services. With a strong leadership team, a healthy pipeline of opportunities, and increasing adoption of innovation technologies, we are confident in our ability to create sustainable long-term value. I now invite our CFO, Mr. Amit Sudhakar, to walk you through the financial highlights.
Thank you, Shikhar, and a warm welcome to all the participants. I am pleased to present the consolidated financial results for the first quarter of financial year 2026 and ended 30th June 2025. We have started the year on a strong footing. Consolidated revenue for the quarter stood at rupees 710 crores, reflecting a robust 44% year-on-year growth compared to rupees 493 crores in Q1 FY25. This growth was driven by continuous strength in our core operation as well as full quarter impact of our recent acquisitions of iData, Citizenship Invest, Adi Fitlet Solution, which were consolidated during FY25. EBITDA for the quarter grew by 53% YOY to rupees 204 crore, with the EBITDA margin expanding by 171 basis points to 28.7%. This margin improvement is a result of our operation leverage, continuous focus on cost optimization, the transition of self-managed centers, and higher per transaction realization. Profit after tax rose by 50% YOY to rupees 181 crore, reflecting improved performance across both our core business segments. Now moving to visa and consular services. The visa consular segment continued to deliver strong results with revenue increased by 11% YOY to rupees 461 crore. The EBITDA margin in this segment improved significantly to 53.4%, up from 23.3% in Q1 FY25. The strong performance was primarily driven by enhanced cost efficiencies, a higher proportion of self-managed centers, and consolidation of iData high-margin operations. Application volumes grew by 34%, reached 11 lakh 4,000, while net revenue per application grew by 19% YOY to rupees 3,167 per application. Digital segment recorded an exceptional growth with the revenue increased by 218% YOY to rupees 250 crores, largely due to integration of our Adi Fitlet Solution Private Limited from November 2024. EBITDA in the digital business rose by 54% YOY to rupees 18 crores, highlighting the growing momentum of our digital service portfolio and the operational progress made during the quarter. Balance sheet and outlook. Our balance sheet remained quite strong despite investment over 1,000 crore in various strategic acquisitions during the previous financial year. We continue to maintain a net cash position of 1,126 crores as on 30th June 2025, compared to 928 crores of net cash as on 31st March 2025. Our Q1 performance reflects the disciplined execution of our growth strategy with a clear focus on scalability, margin expansion and diversification across geographic and service lines. We remain confident in our trajectory and committed to deliver sustained value to all our stakeholders. With that, now I invite the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate the management for this quarter's performance. 40% EBITDA margins in a quarter where it was faced with a lot of macro headwinds. And you've almost done, like, this quarter's EBITDA is almost equivalent to FY23's full year EBITDA. So just glad to see such kind of execution, such kind of progress in terms of execution that the management has shown us. I had a question regarding the VSS IPO, which is probably on cards, which is going to be coming in the next couple of quarters or so. I just want to understand, how do you stack up against VSS? It's probably the valuation which are running around the street is about a multi-billion dollar, something around $8 to $10 billion kind of an IPO. And how do we stack up against something like a VSS? And just wanted to understand, like, we have seen phenomenal growth in the last couple of years. Even this quarter, it was 11 lakh applications, more than 36% growth YOY in a tough macro environment. So now, how do we go ahead from here? Do we sustain this kind of growth rates going ahead, or do we now step up beyond visa outsourcing? Do we now start going to better things with better margins, higher margins? What is the roadmap? How do we become a 1,000 crore PAT company, let's say, from current levels? How much time do you envisage seeing currently? And just congratulations on a phenomenal performance. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Arpit, first of all, I think better margins, so we have already achieved, if you've seen the visa business, around 40% EBITDA margins. And on an overall basis, 28.7% consolidated basis. So I think our immediate and long-term objective is to maintain, you know, we have reached from 35% in last quarter, and last year we were at 30%, 29%. So we've now reached 40%. So our immediate target is to maintain that. You know, we don't know about this competition, but definitely more companies getting listed in the market will be good for us. There will be more coverage. You know, right now, a lot of investors say that we are the only listed company in this space globally. It will be very good for the analyst community to benchmark us. You know, what we know is that globally, I think we have achieved around 16 to 17% global market share, whereas our competition, I feel that we are the second largest company globally in this business. And as you have seen now, if you compare the numbers 5 years back, our EBITDA, our revenue has grown 5x, our EBITDA has grown 15x. You know, we as a company, you know, we know execution, and that is what, you know, we are focused on, you know, keeping our heads down. We are focused on execution. So definitely we feel that whatever numbers we have achieved, we can maintain. And what guidance or what we are telling people is that now with the increased base also, you know, next 3-4 years, we have continued to grow 20 to 25%, you know, in terms of profitability, revenue, etc. And there are multiple opportunities, you know, in terms of new tenders coming out in the visa field itself. And only, as we spoke, only 50% of the global market is outsourced. So right now in the outsourced market, only there are multiple tenders that are coming out. Some we have won, some we have deployed, some are different stages. So as in when, as you see, we have done 11.36 lakh applications, a 33% increase compared to similar quarter last year. So definitely there's a big leeway for growth, you know, going forward. So definitely whatever we have achieved, we'll maintain, and we will look forward to consolidate the market.
Got it. And if I would just speak about the seasonality, typically if I, whatever I see in terms of EBITDA or the PAT numbers for quarter one, that is, if you go by for the full year, it's typically 4.5 to 5 times our quarter one EBITDA or PAT. Should we see a similar kind of seasonality going ahead even for this year, or do you think the seasonalities have changed post the acquisition and where you have different kinds of countries now participating, but that tweaks the seasonality, or do you think that the run rate that we used to see from quarter one to let's say the full year, that number still maintains even this year?
See, post COVID, a lot of things have changed. Trend has changed. As you see, the global travel trend has changed. So definitely there are different timelines that we see, but typically quarter one is, you know, as you know, a lot of outbound travel from India also happens during this time. So definitely it is more. So I think quarter three, quarter four, probably, I don't remember exactly, is a little lesser. But yeah, as you have seen in the last few years, the numbers they've received, acquisition, etc. So globally, you know, we are operating in multiple geographies. So definitely there is some high season somewhere else. But quarter one definitely has been good for us this quarter.
Got it. 11 lakh applications. Congratulations on that. We have seen a new high on number of applications. I thought we'll saturate around a million a quarter, but I think we just surpassed that by another 1 lakh applications. So congratulations for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll take our next questions from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much to give me opportunity. Sir, what is our plan to use 1,100 cash immediately? Any acquisition on card or any new contract you find with any country which you like to tell today?
See, as you know that last year itself we did upwards of 1,200 crore acquisition. You know, we deployed our money in that and that is getting consolidated. Now if you see this, again, this is a cash flowing company. We are 1,100 crore plus net cash position. So definitely we're looking at different opportunities. Right now we're consolidating our previous opportunities, acquisitions. So as and when something gets materialized, we'll definitely let you know.
But immediately no such acquisition known part, right?
See, we have a M&A team that keeps on looking. So as and when something gets finalized, we'll definitely tell you.
Okay. Sir, you tell you acquire 100% stake in Citizenship Invest, which offer leading player in residency and citizenship. In actual, what is business model of that company?
I think we have already explained this multiple times in the past, also in the last quarter results also. But I can tell you again that this is a company that is into long-term visas. We are currently into short-term and business visas. This company facilitates residency and you know, passports for different countries around the world.
Okay. And now you see more growth in digital service business or visa services we see in next quarters.
I did not understand your question.
From where we got more growth in digital service or visa service?
No, you have seen the numbers that on a console level, you know, a revenue basis, we did 200% plus growth on the digital service business. But EBITDA, if you see combined, we did 55% growth in EBITDA. So both the business we have seen green growth.
Okay. And any more margin expansion? Okay.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Vansh Solanki from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I am audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. My questions are on a margin side. If we see the margins of the visa and consular segment and digital services segment separately on a QOQ basis, then visa services are around 500 bips plus margin. So I want to understand that in Q1, does management converted more partnership model into cell phone model during the Q1? And also digital services, the margin, EBITDA margin is declined. Even ASPL is still a lower margin subsidiary, but it has full impact on quarter four. So why the margin is declined in Q1?
So you are correct. In the visa business, we have converted few more businesses where the partnership model was changed to self-managed business, which helped us in improvement of EBITDA margin. Whereas in the digital business, the major portion of the turnover has come from the acquisition we did of Aadi Fiddlers, where the margins are about 4% EBITDA. So the average has come down because of that. Growth has increased, but the average has come down of the digital business.
But digital business is already, ASPL is already considered fully on a quarter four, I guess.
Yes.
In
yes.
full quarter four. So, still margin is decreasing in Q1.
Yes, because in the quarter four, they get the incentives. If you understand the business of Aadi Fiddlers, they are into loan distribution, and for the whole year, their performance on the basis of that, they get incentives. So the margins were higher during the Q4.
Okay. And I just want to understand that how many stores, I mean the connection points are in a partnership model as of now and self-owned model. Can you just give you a bifurcation of both?
Mostly all have now been converted into our own self-managed businesses. The last major one was China, which was done in the Q1.
So if I understand correctly, then EBITDA margin will be the same
yes,
till the
yes.
Q1. Yeah, it will not rise more.
Yes, that is what our expectation is.
Okay. And just one last bookkeeping question. Can you just give me the revenue contribution for ASPL, iData and citizenship business for Q1 and also EBITDA margin if possible?
So approximately around Aadi Fiddlers is about 150 crores. iData is about 72 or so. Citizenship was about 11 crores in this.
Okay. And EBITDA margin, ASPL, you told 4% upper ops and about others?
That's right. That's right.
Others for citizenship and iData?
They are more or less as per our visa business, around 30 plus 40%.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. And congratulations for our future. All the best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the strong YOY growth that we have seen. If you can break down that into what would be organic and what would be inorganic in that. So 44% YOY, if you can break that down into organic and inorganic growth. And also secondly, the margin expansion. The margin expansion that we have seen is also a function of, we acquiring the higher margin iData business. So the EBITDA margin also, if you can break down. And also, if you can explain the fundamental reason behind what led to the margin expansion, specifically by shifting into the, cell phone model. Versus the partnership model, and what are the advantages of cell phone versus partnership? And but in terms of the cell phone model, what kind of assets that we own? How many offices we have across which are owned and which are rented? If you can give some clarification on that.
So Amit, if you see from YOY basis, quarter to quarter, Q1 versus Q1. The growth from organic, from new acquisitions have been in revenue about 35%, which has contributed, and that has also contributed to about 30% in our EBITDA margins, PBT, if you look at that. And as you said, the advantage of moving from partnership to self-manage, the biggest advantage on the same was the margin, which was kept by the partner, has now been coming in our own books. And for that, we have either taken over the existing establishment of the partner or we have opened our own offices in those countries. And nothing has been on a fixed, we have not purchased any assets in as a property, but it is all the furniture and the office interiors and everything. Those have been acquired.
Okay. So how many offices you must have acquired or taken over in that process? And what, so if you just can explain the commercials, how it worked earlier versus now, because the margin expansion because of that has been pretty strong, and we are not able to understand exactly how the commercials have been working there. So I know we have done a very good job here, but just for clarification, if you can understand that.
So earlier, when it was a partnership model, the direct costs of the logistics as well as maintaining the offices and other was paid to the partner, which was going in our direct cost of services, wherein now that has come out, and the maintenance of the renters of the place and the employee cost is getting directly debited to our respective heads of expense now. So if you see over the last year or so, the cost of services are coming down as a percentage of the revenue. And you will see the cost has gone up in the employee cost and the other expenses. That is the administrator.
Okay, so we are saying most of the office running cost is now more like an OPEX model, right? Okay. And how many offices we have in rental or own model, if you can explain across 100?
So practically 99% of our all offices are 100% are basically on rental, on a rental basis only.
Okay. Understood. And also in terms of the contracts that we have currently, both Indian and global, what would be the pipeline in terms of the renewable pipeline? What are the major contracts which are coming up for renewal? If you can have some data on that,
This, I think we have explained in the past. In the last 1 year, 90% of our contracts have been renewed. Next 2-3 years, some of those will come up, but we have a clear visibility on the next 4-5 years, 6-7 years of our revenue. Even we explained we won some contracts with the US government also last year that are for 10 years. So we have a clear visibility. We are in a very strong position as a company as of now.
And Shikhar, you mentioned that 50% of the total contracts are now outsourced. I think this number was very less 3-4 years back. So this outsourcing trend has been on a rise. So globally, who are the other players who have got benefited from that apart from you, or it still remains to a very market which is dominated by few players?
Sorry, so what is your question?
So because the trend has been major outsourcing has been done, because I think this number was 10-20% a few years back, which has gone up to 50% in terms of outsourcing. So we are the major beneficiaries of that, or because the market has expanded, so some other players or the competition also come up, or it continues to be only BFS and BLS kind of the
major players? Yeah, for us only, honestly, it's been 15 years. It took us so long time to come here. New players, I welcome them to enter the industry. So first of all, I think the qualification, as you know, the qualification criteria and all is pretty strict, and we are dealing with monopolistic players, And see, both the things have happened. We have won most of the growth that has come in is mostly from the contracts that we have won from the competition, but also market has expanded a little bit. Newer client governments have also outsourced. Newer services have been outsourced. Newer geographies have been outsourced. So it is a mix, And every year, the business is also growing 14%, year on year, there is a CAGR growth in terms of travel. So a lot of factors have led to this growth where we are at. As I've explained you, we are working on 10 different factors at any given point of time to achieve growth and profitability of the company.
And Shikhar, in the Shenzhen area, how many contracts do you have on in terms of the global contracts? And how many we are bidding as of now?
We are working currently with more than 40 client governments in more than 70 countries, and there are multiple Schengen governments. I need to count how many exact number we have, but we are working for Italy, Germany, Spain, Czech, Portugal, Poland, Hungary. So we are working for many more governments. I can't recall right now, but we have. Okay. The last few years managed to penetrate a lot of the Schengen governments. You're working for the US government, Indian government, Philippine government, Brazil government. That is how you see
we have achieved all this growth has come from all these factors. So, and next year, okay, many countries are coming out with their tenders. You know, new governments are coming out with contracts. So we are bidding for it actively, and we feel now we have a presence globally, good team on the ground, and we feel that, you know, if we can maintain our execution, then definitely we can win more business.
Okay. And
Amit, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting for their turn.
I have just one last question, if you can ask that, and then I will be back.
Can you join back the queue, please? Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Gopalakrishnan from Uttaranush Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the entire DLS team for the stellar performance. Really, really happy. Now, I just have one question regarding this profit growth versus sales growth. It has been a phenomenal run for the company. For example, trailing 12 months, your sales growth is 35% and profit growth is 58%. And for 3 years also, it is 37% and 66%. So, sales growth is around the 35 to 37% range and profit growth is in the range of 58 to 66%. Now, my question is, now that you have, you know, done the partner to ownership model transition, have you reached the saturation point, or are there any plans to improve this, you know, profit margin? If so, what are those plans? That is one thing. And second thing is about this other income. I saw the in the annual report, other income comprises of interest from deposits and sale of securities and all of that. Does it continue the same way, or is there any other addition to the other income? Thank you.
Thank you, Gopal Krishna. See, for your first question on the growth, as we discussed that we have changed our business model, and practically we have covered all the we have converted all the partners into our self-managed offices. We see now these will, this margins will now get stabilized over the period now. And growth will still be there because we are aggressively looking at new contracts. We are looking at new M&A options for growth. So we see that we should be able to maintain a decent growth over the next couple of years and somewhere maintain our profit margins on these levels. And as for your second question about the other income, yes, because as you know, we have a healthy cash balance on our books, which is more than 1,100 crores as on today, that all has been kept in debt or fixed deposits. And whatever we earn on that is being part of our other income.
Okay. Actually, you know, my question was like, regarding this profit growth, what you are saying is, you have almost reached a saturation level, and beyond this, I mean, the same margin will be maintained going forward. Is my understanding correct?
No. I am saying that the margin has been stable, will get stabilized at this level, but growth will still be there.
Okay. Understood. And then UK FTA, any impact? I know last time you told it is a very small, minuscule portion of the business. But now that the FTA has been signed, and I mean, are there any tailwinds from that?
No, it doesn't impact us in any way.
Okay. Thank you. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Dinesh Kulkarni from FinSight. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you, sir, and really great set of numbers. Congratulations on that. So two specific questions. One is, if we see iData was included, became part of, you know, the BLS in July last year. So it was not part in the first quarter. So if you could just tell me, for the Visa business, how the, you know, if we do apples for apples comparison, how the organic growth looked like? I know the consolidated number seems very high because we have acquired other businesses in digital, but if I just see for Visa, how does that, you know, compare?
So see, the if you look at only on the organic basis, our EBITDA has grown at 31%.
See, okay, but the revenue, I mean, more or less in the revenue, sir.
Revenue has been around the same level, but the margins have improved.
Okay, so are you seeing any additional growth in the acquired businesses over the last 1 year, or in the standalone alone, business, you know, entity? Like, where is the growth coming from?
So we are anticipating going forward, the growth will come from, if you look at the visa business, will come from one, from the tourism growth globally, which we anticipate should be in the range of 8 to 10% CAGR, and the balance will come through selling of our value-added services to the travelers. So we look at that as the growth parameter for us.
Okay.
On the existing business. On the existing businesses.
On the existing businesses. Sounds great, sir. And as I'm sure you're looking for more acquisitions with the cash reserves we have, definitely. Just trying to understand, sir. Say we are operating in so many countries, and I would like to understand, where is the niche here? Is it the technology which we are operating, or is it the processes which we employ, or is it the, like, how you are handling the manpower and, you know, the workload? Like, why should BLS get an opportunity even to, when there are other, as you mentioned, other players are also getting into this? Why should we win, you know, versus others? Like, where is the niche there?
Well, if you could explain, other players are getting into it. Some investor had on this call asked us this question. So as I have said, there are three people are qualified for this bid. And obviously, you know, technology is something, we are an Indian company. That is something that, you know, which we are quite, we have an edge on globally. And the delivery that we are doing globally. So that is the reason.
Yeah, but so like as a client, what is the first preference? Is it, I'm sure the, an Indian tech company may not be the only preference they would have, right? Like, in, you understand that, like, what my question is? Like, it's in terms of why should you win versus others? Is it okay, anyone sets up another technology company and gives this kind of services? Like, how fair chances they will also have?
See, we are in this industry for last 15, 20 years. So our experience, our delivery, our reference from client governments, our platform that we're doing, the multiple factors.
Not one.
Okay. Sounds good. And it seems you are winning great, and hope you can do so. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, sir, on consistent good performance. My question is a case of peak margin for our company, especially in view of the fact that many nations have become very sort of xenophobic and not encouraging the tourism, or not tourism, but the migration to their countries for jobs and for student visa also becoming difficult. So, what impact it is having on our case? And second thing is about the, what could be the impact of our e-visas and visa on arrival services for our company, sir? And last question is about how do we stand with VFS and our differentiator? They are the bigger player and sort of better image they have on the social media also. Thank you.
So, as you said, countries are getting stricter in their processing. On the other hand, they are talking about e-visas. So, there's a contradiction on both sides. The countries who are looking are strict, their visa rules are the one where we work on, and they are controlling. Today we have a bottleneck more on the number of applications which embassies can process. And once their bottleneck, they de-bottle their processing, our volumes will by default will continue going up only. So we don't see any, at the moment, concern on the volumes per se. And as far as e-visa is concerned, they are for some limited countries which are working on e-visas. and that is a different market altogether.
Do we get impacted because of that, sir?
Not really, because if you look at the developed nations and developing nations, they are still goes through the proper process of scrutinizing the visa applications and then providing the visas.
The question about the comparison with our major competition and the social media presence which is there for us.
So, see, we compete with the VFS and other competitors in all the bidding because this is a tender process. And in that, we are as strong as anybody else.
And so lastly, there is not much institution interest in our company in spite of our, we are coming out with great numbers. So would you like your IR or your company's PR head to sort of participate more of in the analyst conferences and invite more institutional investors with you? And because the numbers are consistently good, but unfortunately, except for LIC, not much of an interest of late, sir.
So frankly speaking, we have not been focusing on the investment side. About a year back, we have had a IR person on board, and now he's going for all the investment calls and the other. And hopefully, they will also look at our company now.
Yeah, but I believe if you can participate in the analyst conferences and meet the research houses, so it will be better for us and as well as you. You are being the majority shareholder, sir. If you can think of that, sir. And ask your IR firm also to be more proactive in that regard, sir.
That's right. Yeah. That's what we have started doing over the last, I would say, year or so. So, let's see. But we have started attending those conferences.
We need to sort of pay attention to our social media presence also, specifically in our line of business. So, that how somehow gets negative things get propagated out of the way, but positive things are not that much, sir.
Sure.
We have to focus
so now,
on that, sir.
Our investor relation person is here only, and I think he will take your input.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sachin, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Hi, many congratulations. I'm a long-term shareholder in the company for over 8 years, and it's, you know, the best performing in terms of revenues, profitability, as well as governance as well. So many congratulations for all things that you guys have achieved. So just in terms of, is there any restriction for us to do like a forward integration and get into the travel industry? Probably become like a travel agent and then, you know, route visas and all of that. Do client governments actually restrict us from getting into that sort of thing, or has the company thought about something of that sort?
No, we are actually focused on the, our government, like our business, which is into government outsourcing of services and that exclusive contracts. You know, so this is what we are focused on and this is what we are
talking about. But there's no restriction from client governments.
We have not explored neither checked this because our objective is to remain in the line of business where we are in.
Okay. All right. And also in terms of China, we saw news that the Chinese, so travel visas for Chinese folks traveling into India has restarted. Can you tell us how that trend is at the moment?
See, I cannot comment on the trend, but I can tell you that we are the authorized provider for the Indian Embassy in China. And definitely any positive spread in that will lead to increase in numbers for us.
Right. Okay. And one last question is on the dividend policy. So we're seeing the profits go up, but I'm not sure if you know, investors know about the dividend policy. Can you tell us, last time I asked this question, you said the board generally takes an appropriate decision. But is there like a percentage or something that is set aside for shareholders?
I think, first of all, we are utilizing, as you know, we've done 1,200 crore worth of acquisitions last year.
Right.
And also from the day company got listed, we have been paying dividend. Our policy is already there on the website as well, which is 30% of the profits up to that we are paying as dividend.
So we are continuing to pay dividends, from the day, first day company got listed. And we are continuing to invest the money of the company in the growth of the company, which is acquisitions, technology, etc.
Right. Okay, no complaint, just in terms of, what it was. Thank you for that. I think others have already asked the questions. And also, I commend your patience in repeating the same answers again and again. If participants just listen to the entire call, then, you don't have to ask the same questions again and again. But commend your patience on that. And congratulations once again.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dilip, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, it's congratulations for a good number in this quarter, even the previous quarters and the years also. I have just a couple of questions. One is that in your investor presentation, you have mentioned that outsourcing and your in-house that services are 50-50 will become in 2029. Right. Now, is there a chance that the 50 will become, in-house will become, say, 30, 10, or maybe finally they would not like to do it because the cost for the government is increasing, much more than the, that is one question. And second question that I don't find, whether you have a presence in France, because that is the destination where all inbound traffic is very high for that country. So I just was a query whether you also have a presence there and do those kind of offer those kind of services.
Well, definitely. See, if you see from the last few years, outsourcing has increased. Before it there was zero outsourcing. Now it has come up to 50% level, and definitely going forward, outsourcing will be more. Regarding different countries, including the name that you mentioned, we are continuing to try bid for contracts globally. And as in when we win contracts with different governments, we'll let you know.
And the last question is that, see, you have a share of about 10% as volume. So probably when that 50, gets reduced further, then I can presume that your share will automatically increase.
Definitely, if the outsourcing market increases, we will also get better share in the outsourcing.
Or can I presume that you are taking effort to increase from 10% to further 12, 13, 15, whatever it is? I mean, whoever is your nearest competitor or whoever it is globally?
Yes, we are making efforts to increase our market share, definitely.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vansh Solanki from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just a follow-up question. That 11.4 million applications are on a consolidated basis, but you just mentioned in a call that citizenships are long-term visas, like standalone is a short-term visas. So can you just give the bifurcation of the both, that how is the standalone and how much is from the
most citizenship? Of the 99% of the applications are from tourists and business visas. The citizenship invest volume is very less and revenue is very high. There's a very different category of applications. So out of this 11.9 lakh, 99% is of our core business, which is short term and long term business visas.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's from my side.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last speaker shareholder for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for joining our earnings call for Q1 FY26. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.